Hi, this is Jay Nervo. You're listening to episode 698 of The Life Autistic. It goes on. I want to send a special thanks, special gift of gratitude to, oh man, if I get his name wrong, I'm going to be so mad, Steve Jones in the UK. Wonderful regular listener, sticks with me through thick and thin, even when the podcast, even when the episodes are atrocious. Apparently he hangs in there. When I did the recent episode where I questioned whether there was I even wanted to do any more episodes, he fired off an email to me and said, "I'm still listening, Jay. Hang in there, buddy. I love it." Well, I think he did say that. I thought, you know, it's like, you don't have to love it. I know it's kind of a tricky balance there, you know, between saying, God, do I still want to listen to this guy? He's getting almost bleh. Just, hard to deal with. But I want to thank Steve for his response. Is it Steven or Steve? I think it's Steve. I want to thank him for his wonderful feedback. You know, I know it's been said that people say for every one person that actually gives you feedback, there's 1,000 people that are just quietly listening. And I have to be really honest that I end up being kind of one of the quiet listeners to other things, because I find out that when I get into a forum, when I get into a chat room, when I do a response to something, I tend to offend people. Not that I really desire to, but it just, I guess it kind of happens. So I tend to, moderate myself a lot. You know, I tend to tell people that, you know, I'm not gonna get all, well, you know, I don't get involved. Every time I've done it, I've regretted doing it. I think I've talked about a few times here where I've done it, and I've said, you know, that was a mistake. This can't help me at all. So I just tend not to. It goes back to the whole Zenith philosophy of it's their world. Just leave them be. Let them do what they want. My only outreach to them should be related to the gospel of Jesus Christ, for instance. And that should really be it. Other than that, I can't offer them any advice. I can't, you know. I'm different enough from them that I should just remain silent on most things. If they want to elect a maniac president of the United States, and you could decide just who of the many candidates out there are maniacs, I've got to go vote here shortly. It's time to go ahead and do the early voting. I'm going to go ahead and do it, because otherwise I'll forget on the day, and it won't happen, and I'll be lost. You know, I'll be traveling somewhere. I won't be close to home. It always happens. I'm always traveling during election season. I don't think I'm going to make my final decision until I get there. I can guarantee you it won't be the two main candidates. It's probably not going to be Bob Barr, because I don't like him personally. And so there it is. You know, that's really kind of where it's going to go. So from whoever's left, I'll try and write in somebody like Ron Paul, even though they said, please don't write in Ron Paul. I don't care. I'd like for him to have been president. I think that would have been exciting. I think that would have been a good move. I would have gone for that. I'm sorry. I've gone so far. I haven't even said what the topic's going to be of this particular podcast. I'm calling it Natural Consequences. The big thing deep in my heart, after the last episode where I talked all about disciplining one of my kids with a strap, with a belt, I feel like I need to talk about my preferred method of disciplining anything, governments included, everything. And it's through the use of natural consequences. It's basically just stepping back, not trying to protect people from the natural consequences of their behavior. Now, you don't do this particularly with children, with young children, or with even, you know, tweens. Teens, you need to let more natural consequences come. Now, that's not to set them up for a fall. You don't do that. But let them handle things as much as they can. You know, and when they make a mistake, let them feel the mistake. Not to the point to where it destroys them. The whole point is not to destroy them. Even young adults, even 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, you don't want to treat them particularly like this, young 30-year-olds. If you haven't gotten things together by the time you're 35, you know, I say, yeah, cart them off to jail. Jeez, if they haven't learned how to behave themselves by now, don't do it. I am all for natural consequences. Let me give you a for instance here that has to do with something very large and very looming at this time. It is, I think it's like October 7th, 2008. We are in the midst of, it could be the ultimate meltdown of the world economic system. I don't know. It could pull itself together. Right now, stock markets are going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. They're schizophrenic. Everybody's scared to death. The United States government, where I live, has just authorized a $700 billion bailout of basically a lot of banks, a lot of investment houses, stuff like that. And by and large, I am against this. I am against this, and it's because I am a great believer in natural consequences. I consider most of the financial problems that are happening right now to be greed, be a manifestation of greed. Greedy people decide they were going to take advantage of some interesting products that have been created, they were going to take advantage of it and really profit off of it. The whole thing where you could buy a house for nothing down, you could borrow 100% of its value and technically buy a house although you put nothing down on it. And then, those people can almost immediately, within a couple of months, with just a couple of little token payments, hold on to it. You know, the market was going through the roof for housing there for a little while. You could hang on to it for 6 months, make some token payments, turn it around, and sell that loan or sell that house to somebody for, you know, and make a nice tiny profit, make maybe $250,000 profit on it. It was that amazing. And people were doing it a lot. And now it's come back to haunt us. You know, the housing market wasn't really that good. It was mostly artificial. Loading anybody on 100% of the value of the collateral, the house itself, is inherently dangerous, but they kept letting it happen. So I thought natural consequences let it happen. Those banks should fail. Well, you go, oh no, but I've got my money in it. And you go, no, there's insurance to bail you out. Don't get weird. I said, and the natural consequence of this is that now we no longer trust banks particularly. It used to be, you know, banks were the kind of institution that you had to go groveling to them because they had everything. You had nothing comparatively. And you know, You would go and beg to try and get a mortgage for a home. They would put you through a lot of garbage, you know, and they felt justified in treating you like garbage and being kind of jerky about it, you know. They owned everything. Well, now the tables have turned. Now it's the whole point of people have no confidence. Therefore, if you want to go get something, you don't go to a bank. You go somewhere else. You go to some other financial institution, or you get your money some other way. And you don't go to a bank. Therefore, bankers who used to be living high on the hog and used to drive the big car right down through town, and he always thought it was funny because it tended not to be somebody who was well educated. It tended to be somebody who knew how to finagle things. You know. We call them business people. Most other people would call them shysters and crooks. You know, not saying that they were stupid, but just saying they hadn't proved to anybody that they were really worth anything. They just happened to pull together all these things, not to say bad things about bankers in general, but just to say that anybody could do it. You know, no previous experience required to get started being, you know, a big-time banker. You just had to have a couple of years of having worked your way up and schmoozed with the right people. Maybe come up with a couple of really interesting deals, you know. It's mostly about who you know, not about what you know in that business. Or at least it was. Now it's a question of nobody's going to trust you with their money anymore. I'm getting ready to take my money out of the bank. Especially if it looks like they're not going to be able to make it. And, you know, not feeling like a victim, but just saying, I don't trust you anymore with my money. Why should I trust you with my money? Well, we'll pay interest on it. And you go, oh, yeah, will you? Says, how much bad stuff is happening? How nervous do you feel over this housing debacle? Well, pretty nervous. And you go, well, then you were trusting the wrong people. And you were banking, you know. My little thing, I'm actually part of a credit union. You know, my little credit union probably took advantage of some pretty interesting things trying to get some good money. Now, I expect that credit union to pull back almost immediately and go to something that they feel like is a little safer. I don't know what that is. If they have to drop the interest rates that they pay, I figure that's just par for the course of saying there's really nothing that's really, you know, credit unions should be a little safer because it's actually our money they're playing with. I don't expect them to go out and go into big, huge, you know, I don't expect them to wheel and deal, you know, because I'm a stockholder in this thing. I prefer it that way. I prefer to keep it small, on a small scale. Anyway. So the natural consequences of all this would be, number one, they don't get bailed out. Number two, the biggest thing that we need to do is not bail the thing out, but to see how they did it and try to come up with some kind of a mechanism to make sure they can't do it again. It says, and in most ways, I say, don't come up with a mechanism at all. Let faith in the financial sector drop to an appropriate level given what the financial sector did. The financial sector took advantage of people, took advantage of fear, took advantage of stupidity, and, you know, profited handsomely for a time. Now they're not. You know, the smart ones were the guys that as soon as they saw a little bit of change decided to cash out and say, well, I'm going to take my stuff, put it to gold, and move to Aruba or something. Sorry, Antigua. Is that one of the better tax havens? Someplace where you can go, you know, I expect rich people to do smart things with their money. Like take it offshore so bad things don't happen. You know, as a relatively poor person compared to them, I try to do what's in my best interest. You know, I'm not going to get into stupid investments. You know, everybody else is doing it. That is the first rule of natural consequences, is that huge, nasty things, just like this banking thing happens by following the crowd. And Venus should know right off that, you know, since you're already not part of the crowd, don't bother following them. You let them go where they want to go. You know, you may, if you're kindly disposed, and I hope you are, you try to warn them. That was kind of what that whole speech, you know, this is not my world speech, was all about, is all about. You know, I really haven't worked on it since I talked about it. I really haven't finished it. I've got big chunks of it. I think I've pretty much gotten it. But, you know, if I had to actually give the speech, and if you want me to come and give the speech to a group, I will. You arrange it, I'll come. We'll do it. Make sure I get some money for it. Just at least give me a nice place to travel to and put me up for the night and make me feel good. Give me a nice dinner. Make it worth my while having to take, you know, take some leave from work. And you got me. I'll gladly come and I'll give a speech to whoever you want me to give it to. Even if they throw stuff at me, I'll probably still do it. Although I will try to fill out the crowd. Anyway, let natural consequences fall. Because right now, people are, you know, normal people are so scared, they're willing to give government whatever power government wants to have, which is a lot more than what they used to have. You don't want government controlling, regulating things, because that just plays into the hands of evil. Evil controls government. That's just a gimme. So you don't give them more power to try to save you from another version of evil. You know, well, the banks are all run by evil people too. I said, well, then don't give them your money. Well, do I have a choice? You go, yeah, you do. You still have a choice. I mean, it may not be convenient. You may pay a certain penalty for not giving up your soul to evil, but there are other options. You can start your own credit union. You can start your own credit union in this country, get it done, and operate the way you want to within the rules. Do the rules skew toward giving powerful, big, rich people more freedom than you? Of course. Of course it does. Hello? Where have you been? You know, it's not fair. That's why when people say, use the word fair, I just usually close my ears and shake my head and just go, I don't want to hear this. You instantly have dropped to imbecile level. Hello? Of course it's not fair. Life wasn't even, you know, this world, a celestial world, wasn't even designed to be fair. God never intended a celestial world to be fair. Going up that ladder is not a question of fairness, it's a question of being obedient to God to get something better out of Him. It's not, I deserve this. You don't deserve anything. You should feel grateful every day. You should feel lucky that you're getting what you're getting at all. So, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't even need to go into all that. You know? If you think the bank's going to rip you off, if you think the bank is a whole bunch of crooks, why send government to try to make the crooks behave better? The government's full of crooks, too. Hello? I mean, not completely. Nothing's completely filled with crooks. But most of the guys at the highest levels don't care about you. You know, they want to make a profit. They went there because they wanted power and money, power and gain. And that's what it really comes down to. If they feel their power, their gain is threatened, they'll turn on you in a second. God even said so, you know. Be nice to your neighbor. Treat them kindly. Or else they may turn on you and rend you. God didn't say, don't worry, I'll kill off everybody who ever tries to do anything bad to you. you know, I'll kill all your enemies. Ultimately, he is going to get rid of all the wicked people, but that's ultimately. Doesn't mean it's going to happen today. It doesn't mean it's going to happen now. And, you know, that's why God said it. I mean, even you people that only believe in the Bible, Bible's the only source. It says that in the Bible, I believe. I think that's the source for that particular concept. Come on. Natural consequence is also something that happens to you. It isn't just something that you watch happening to other people, but it is. It'll happen. I think what's happening now is natural consequences of greed grown general. There's just generally a lot of greed. There used to only be, you know, some people who, it's all, well, you know, life is all about me, and I don't care if other people suffer. You know, it's all about me getting rich, and I'm going to get rich off other people because they're stupid or dumb or lazy or they don't understand. You know, it used to be you could rely on the fact that most people weren't going to treat you that way. I still think it's basically kind of half and half. In my part of the world, at least with the people I run with, by and large, you can figure that they're going to not, you know, slap you while you're down. They aren't going to take advantage of your weaknesses, your shortcomings. You know, they can't look themselves in the eye when they do that. They can't look at themselves in the mirror, sorry. But we're finding out that a lot more people can. And that's where this financial thing came from, I think. Is that, you know, they were really greedy. They didn't care. You know, does this deal seem too good to be true? I don't care. I'm going to take it anyway. When somebody like me didn't do that. I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine, co-worker. He's the superintendent of the Ag Science Center at Tudor Crane Clovis. Rex Kersey, and he was talking about that. He said, people who have really tried to be prudent, really tried to do hard, I get upset at this bailout. I said, I do too. He says, because, you know, well, I guess he was almost coming out from kind of a fair standpoint. It isn't fair. And of course, I kind of shrugged and said, well, life, you know, I kind of give the whole life isn't fair, but people know that, people like you know that I'm much more poignant about the whole fairness issue. Not only is it just, no, life's not fair. But, I mean, I'm not kidding. It says, don't anticipate it. Don't look at it that way. Life should be a whole bunch of, you need to be kind to people and nice and hope for kindness and niceness back. That's what makes life joyful. That's what makes life happy. And that means that there's a lot of people that you just avoid, that you just stay away from. Because if they aren't those kind of people, you don't want to be around them. And the funny thing is, those people appeal to the whole issue of, well, you've got to be fair, you've got to treat me just like everybody else. And they kind of have that sneer on their face, holding it over you, like that. And you go, no, I don't have to treat you like I treat everybody else. I'm going to ignore you, I'm going to stay away from you, and I'm not going to give you my money. Oh, no, you have to give me my money. You have to support locally, could be a local economy. You go, no, I don't. I don't have to support the local economy. I can trade with people I like trading with. I don't have to trade with you. I don't have to give my money to the bank so that the bank can turn around and on very favorable terms loan it to evil people. I don't have to do that. I can choose to do something else instead. Of course, evil always infiltrates everything you can come up with, but at least for a time. You know, you have to try to stay ahead of them. You know, and they're always striving as hard as they can to catch up and make your life evil, you know, and take advantage of you. But, you know, that's why nice, smart people have to warn nice, not-so-smart people and say, don't do that. Don't behave like that. Stay out of debt. Don't go into debt. Don't take out a mortgage loan that seems too good to be true, because it is. Someday, something bad will happen, and you will have given thousands of dollars to somebody and you'll be walking away from your house and you'll never get that money back. Because they don't care. You know, that's where most money gets made in the mortgage world. It isn't from people who regularly pay their bills, although that's not a bad business. But you don't get rich off of that. You have a decent living. You get rich off of foreclosing. You know, people have paid and paid and paid and paid and paid. And the most beautiful thing for evil people is when they've paid 25 years on a 30-year loan. Something sad happens. They lose their job or something. They can't afford to pay it off. They can't sell that place for how much they've invested in it. They get foreclosed on, they get booted out of their house, and then the bank can sell it for what it sees as its value. Well, this house is really worth this much. I mean, it doesn't matter that I already got paid, you know, $500,000 for it. It's actually worth $750,000, $750,000, $750,000. So I'm going to turn around and sell it for $750,000, but I'll pocket the $500,000 that the last guy tried to pay until things went bad. That's where the money is. That's where you get rich. You don't get rich with people who are a good credit risk. You get rich off of people who are a bad one, but that you can convince them for a few months or a few years to pay, and then you get to turn around and sell it again. There used to be a real estate agency in Clovis, New Mexico. I don't know if they still behave this way. I'll try hard not to drop the name for the simple reason that they might have changed their tactics. It was run by a man. I thought he was a reason. He was. I felt like he was a decent man. He was certainly seemed to be a law-abiding man, but he was willing to take advantage of people. You know, most financial people are. That's where the big money is. He traded in garbage properties, very cheap properties. He mostly dealt with owner finance. His fee for most of these was quite a bit higher than what was standard. The standard fee for a realtor was 6%. I think he usually charged between 10 and 15 for his fee for these things. You know, he specialized in doing that. He liked doing these things because what would happen is, you know, he would try to set up an owner finance deal. He would normally talk the person into it, the seller. He would talk into doing an owner finance deal. Sometimes. You know, put a pretty hefty interest rate on it, because when you owner finance, you can set the rate. There's no fair, you know, fair trade, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's no legislation to stop somebody from charging you exorbitant. There are laws against banks and lenders doing that. There's nothing to stop a homeowner from doing that. And he would usually try to come up with easy terms. He would help back that loan to make people feel better about it. Sometimes he would even kind of, in a way, entrap the owner. You know, he would act as the middleman. He'd take his part off the top and give people the rest. He would act kind of as a go-between. Of course, he'd charge his fee on top of it. And that was what he did. But he was also the kind of person where when he did the contract, if you weren't keeping up your end of it, and he would mostly, and he took, well, I don't know, it's difficult to say he took advantage. I knew, did I buy a piece of property from him? No, I didn't. I did end up selling my house to somebody that used him as their real estate agent. I think that's what ultimately happened. And so I didn't really get to see it up close because I wasn't going to do deals with him, because I already knew from my grandparents and from my parents the kind of person that he was. Not that he was particularly bad, but the fact that he wasn't particularly kindly. He wasn't a kindly person. He probably thought he was. And that's fine, you know. I'm not here to tell celestial people, you know, I can freely tell them what right and wrong is, but they can continue to do whatever it is they do. I'm not going to take great pains trying to destroy their world for them. They're going to get to go to a celestial place where they can continue to do pretty much what they do now. You know, he was not being illegal. I'm not even sure what he was doing was unethical. He, as far as I was aware, he was very upfront with the fact that his interest rates were high, that he was trying to sell, you know, junky houses to people who wouldn't be able to have houses otherwise, who had bad credit or had bad terms. He would take them almost no matter what, almost questions not asked, you know. But he always had his rear end covered, you know. He would tell the people that were going to do the owner financing, you know, the chances of these things going better than maybe 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 12 months is pretty low. But the great part is, during that period, you don't have to do that. He had gotten to the point to where there had been enough, you know. He was also one to swoop in and pick up a deal when he saw one. If somebody was really desperate to get rid of their house, he loved those, or he would take advantage. I don't know if he loved them. He seemed to take advantage of those. If a seller was really motivated, you know, he would set up one of these owner finance deals, and if it went south, which, you know, 8 times out of 10 it would, he would swoop in as if a knight in shining armor, you know, when it got foreclosed on, and the poor seller was going, I've it was great while somebody else was making the payment on the house, but I've got to get rid of it. He would come in with kind of a low ball offer and say, hey, I'll be willing just to buy this straight out from under you for this much. Much less than he figured he could get for it. You know, he was willing to do that. And for some people, he was doing a service. For other people, you know, he was kind of taking advantage of them. But that's the kind of the way real estate is. Real estate ends up being that kind of a circumstance. So he would do that, you know, and people would get taken advantage of sometimes. And I'm not saying that sometimes he was being generous. But he was being generous because, you know, he was being generous to one person because he was fleecing another one. Because of their circumstances. You know. Of course, he was fleecing that person because there was nothing else to do. That person could never have a home. You know, and he would always tell people, you know, well, at least this is cheaper than rent. Or, at least if you do this after 30 years, someday you'll actually have an asset. You'll have that asset. You know, you could turn around and try to sell it. And he usually gave you the option, you know, well, you can turn around and sell this thing. That's fine. Pay me off or pay off the owner. And you don't have to keep bringing the payment to me. Most of these owner finance guys didn't want to really have anything to do with it, so they would set up a deal where this guy, this real estate agent, would get a cut of every payment that got made. Now, he wasn't taking any risks. The actual owner was taking the risks. He was just smoothing the way for them so they didn't have to worry about it. And I'm not saying that's an evil business or a bad business. It just could take advantage of people, and that's what kind of happened in this case. natural consequences became that this bank was, you know, that all these banks went south. Natural consequence, you know, when it came to this guy, this real estate agent, if somebody couldn't make the payments and they felt like they wanted somebody to bail them out, well, it wasn't there. That possibility wasn't there. It's natural consequences. And the fact that it was a high interest rate, and it was the fact that they had given all this money to these people, and they had to just walk away from it, it just ended up being kind of an interesting form of rent. You know, doesn't matter. That's natural consequences. And I'm not in the mood to try to stop that. Oh, that's a terrible thing. Terrible thing that guy does. He says, it behooves you before you do a business relationship with someone to try to get some good advice about them. Should I do business with them or not? You know, and if you had any friends, any nice people who would say, you know, just know that that's the kind of business he runs. You know, he doesn't really deal in real estate. What he deals with is he's basically kind of a loan shark. You know, he doesn't break people's arms. He doesn't do like that. He forecloses on you, and you still owe him. You still owe him. And he will send a collection agency after you for what you didn't pay. Although if he gets his asset back, then that means he can't chase you around anymore. But he can try to make your life miserable for a couple of months. You know. Anyway, so, ha. There you go. But you also understand the other side of the coin. He's willing to deal with people that normally, I wouldn't call them the salt of the earth sorts, kind of the human waste, the human refuse sometimes, not always, but there are plenty of people like that, you know. A bank, an intelligent bank, wouldn't give them a loan. An intelligent friend wouldn't give them a loan because they know that they would never get paid back. So he offered a service to those people, knowing that they would default, but he had a system set up that, you know, if I were him, I would have a 2-month buffer going. You know, I anticipate they'll be able to pay 2 months. I anticipate there will be 3 months of trying to get them to pay a little bit, and then foreclosing and being able to resell this house to someone else. You know, and the whole thing of knowing if they're going to trash the place, the whole thing of knowing they're probably going to leave in the middle of the night, but also knowing, you know, and he also had a pretty good side business of selling, you know, of selling off the stuff that got left in the house, the stuff that was abandoned. You know, once you repossess a house, anything in it becomes yours too. And that was part of the deal. He got some of that, you know, he got that too, and he turned around, he sold it to other people, you know. He would have furniture sales. Sometimes, if he got enough nice furniture that he felt like would make it work out, he would put it in his nicest house and sell it furnished for a much higher price. Or he would rent it, you know. There's so many different things he could do. He used all those vehicles. He was into property management. He was into stuff like that. He had storage buildings. So he got to take advantage of the fact that some people just leave, they just turn their storage facility into a dump, and, you know, $35 a month, or 60, or whatever storage goes for, you know. I had a lady, I swear that's all she kept up her storage buildings for, was because of all the cool stuff she could get. She was always saying, hey, do you need a stereo? I got like 5 stereos. Do you want one? You know, she was nice, but, you know, she would turn around, she would have a big garage sale, and she would sell off this stuff. If there was anything of value, she would clean it up and you know, sell it on the market. You know, she had a whole kind of racket going, and which is fine. She wasn't a bad person. She wasn't an evil person. She didn't do anything illegal. She didn't, and I don't think what she was doing was unethical particularly either. maybe from a celestial standpoint. But then again, there was a contract. You have to understand, contracts must be honored. If you don't honor a contract, people will exercise it. Now, if you feel like that's not fair, which is, I think, what's happening right now, a lot of rich people who were speculating in real estate, and their real estate business went bad, they're now doing a very unethical thing. They're expecting everybody else to bail them out by saying, you know what, if this happens to me, you know, I'm going to make this whole economy go south. If I go down, all the rest of you go down too. It's kind of a form of extortion. And I'm all for natural consequences. They can fume and storm and say this is going to be the end of the world. You know, even the president, President Bush right now, who's a lame duck. He's just kind of waiting for his time to run out on his last 4 years. He's not running for president. You know, he's pushing this thing pretty hard. And I can just think that it's going to really profit his buddies, people who should have taken it in the shorts that now won't. Now they're having to do something to try to save people on Main Street, which is meaningless to them. They don't care. In fact, it makes them kind of upset because, you know, I could have had that money greasing the wheels of my life and enriching my friends, and they'll turn around and scratch my back later on. That's okay. Give a couple of bones to the peons to try to smooth things over so that the big deal, the big buyout happens. You know, so that his friends or those friends or whoever, somebody's friends, can have their nice golden parachute when they get released from these things, that they get to do it. That's why I'm a big guy for natural consequences. Evil will get what evil deserves. And you don't bail them out. You know, you don't save people. Because it rarely ever really saves anyone. It mostly enriches evil. Almost all this stuff has to have its little gotta give the devil his due money. And it's a question of who's going to get that money. If it's Republicans and their friends, or if it's Democrats and their friends. Basically the same thing. Anyway, so I'm all for natural consequences. From, you know, the fact that if a kid spends his, you know, if your 10-year-old kid spends his money on candy, all of his money on candy, and then the next week he has a chance to go to an amusement park, but he spent all of his money and he can't afford to go, that's natural consequences. You know, they need to learn that. You know, parents don't need to bail them out and say, oh, I really want you to be able to go to the amusement park. I know you weren't being very practical, but here's the money. You know, teach your kid that any time they can schmooze you into coming along their way of thinking, you can get anything out of them, you know. See, that's what's happening on a grand scale with the government with these kind of financial bailouts. It's basically the same thing. We've taught institutions, banks, financial whatever, that, you know, they can do pretty much whatever they want. They can spend money willy-nilly, you know, but that when they overextend themselves through greed, you know, oh, that didn't go the way we had hoped. You know, we were banking on the fact that it was going to go the other way, but it didn't. So, well, the government's going to bail us out because they always do. That's the same thing as having that kid that always spends every single penny he gets on candy, and then when something cool comes up, the parents just pony up again and don't teach the kid you should save your money. You can't go. You know, And it is an issue of, well, my parents are so rude. You go, no, it's not a question of rudeness. You don't have the money. You can't do it. Just like responsible people. I don't care if there's a one wonderful business opportunity that I could get into for $100,000. If I don't have the $100,000, I can't get into that wonderful business opportunity. I don't care how perfect it is. I can't do it. But that's not the way it goes, especially with the government we have now. The government we have now says, oh yeah, we'll just print up the extra money. How much do you need? Well, I need $700 billion. It's like, okay, ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. Through the printing press, chop them all up. There's your $700 billion. Go for it. Hope it goes well, because if it goes well for you, I'll get a cut too, right? Oh yes, you'll get a cut unless things go bad. Then I'll be coming back to tell you to print up more money to bail me out. Okay. That's kind of a deal they have going. You know? You could go around and say, yeah, but that's not fair. But what that translated into, at least in this case, was, well, we shouldn't do it at all. We should let natural consequences reign. No. Then it became, oh, well, for another $300 billion, perhaps. I don't know what the ultimate bailout for normal people is going to be, you know. We'll pay you off, too. All you guys who have sad, disgusting, pathetic loans, we'll pay you off, too, because, you know, the most important thing is these sweet deals need to keep happening. We'll throw some bones at you to make it worth your while so you'll stop saying how unfair it is. We'll try to make it at least appear a little fair. We'll give you guys some relief, too. And it's like, they're just trying to buy you into their little scheme. The only problem is the American people always go for it. Always. Yeah. As long as I get some money out of it too, you can make those evil people as rich as you want without any responsibility at all. You know, and people say, oh, we're going to put lots of restrictions and regulations on the banking. And you go, they're going to put a few on there, but they're going to leave some very important loopholes wide open. For the sake of their friends. So their friends can get filthy rich, because that's important. Because if their friends get filthy rich, then they'll pay off that politician that helped them. It happens all the time. Oh, no, it doesn't. We catch the guys. No, we don't. The only guys that get caught as politicians, you know, getting graft, are the ones that piss off their political enemies bad enough, you know, that turn on their party. That's how the party keeps everybody in line. You know, that's how things are kept on a very even keel. We have a very even political system. And I'll tell you why. It's because everybody's in cahoots with everybody else. And it's not like they're in the back rooms making deals all the time. It's just, you know, you go off and you make your own deals. You know, you'll certainly be approached as a politician. You know, you'll be approached to say, hey, I'm your friend. I'm going to donate this to your campaign. And when the time comes, when I call you on the phone, that I want such and such a, I want you to vote for such and such a legislation, you know, I expect that you'll help me. And of course you'll go, well, sure, I'll help you. Whatever it takes to get your campaign contribution. Now, if you decide to turn on that person, and that person didn't just grease you, he greased a lot of people, you all of a sudden find other politicians that are working against you. And if you buck the system a little too much, if you make a little too much noise, if you cause a little too much problems, you know, you'll find yourself hanging from a noose somewhere. We have congressmen now who are being investigated for their evil doings, and you go, they all do evil doings. He just got fingered that he was going down. You know, plus it makes it look good. We're taking care of the really corrupt people in government. And you go, no, you're not. It says, you're taking out a common political enemy that has decided he's not gonna play ball anymore with the bigger group, and so you're gonna take him down. That's how it always works. It's natural consequences. You must know that this is a telestial world. You must know that evil reigns here. But the whole point about that speech was that God will come back. He will reclaim what's His. And those people will be sent away. They will go away. They won't be here anymore. The place will be cleaned up, spruced up, made nicer, and only nice people will be allowed to be here. God can do that. I know that celestial thinkers say, oh no, you can't do that. There will always be evil. And you go, oh, not so. Says God can get rid of all the evil people. I know you guys are used to, well, we can't get rid of all evil. We can just make a dent every now and then. And you go, no, He can really do the job. So don't fret. You know, it would be easy to despair if you thought this was just reality and it was always the way it was going to be. But it's not. It's not going to be that way. In fact, their time is shortly coming to an end. The fact that they couldn't hide the problem, the fact that maybe they won't be able to do all the things that they ever wanted to do is just indicative of the fact that slowly things aren't working anymore. God ultimately starts making it so evil stops working. And He can do that. He has that power. We just have to be, you know, we just have to decide which side we're going to be on and stay on that side. It's too easy to decide that, oh, say the Democrats are the problem, and you get in bed with the Republicans because they're the shining knights in armor that are fighting against, you know, the enemy of my enemy must be my friend type of thing, and they'll pretty much suck you into their evil too, and you'll find out that that both of the evil people are on the wrong side when God comes. So you just stay away from all of them, you know. If you don't want natural consequences to hit you, if you don't want to get hit by lightning, I said the smartest thing to do is to get in out of the rain. Not to try to find the most protective bunch of people that you can. You know, if you're trying to avoid evil, stay away from evil. Don't just stay away from one flavor or the other. Natural consequences. Let them happen as much as possible. Your kindness should not extend to propping up evil. Now, evil is much bigger than we are, than good is, currently, only because God allows it. Why? Because there's some wonderful opportunities to ferret out who's good and who's evil out of that. You can really know who's good when being good profits you nothing, which really is kind of the case, you know, a lot of the time now, right? Being good will usually get you poor. You're not going to have a nice car if you're a good person. You know, it's going to be things like that. Evil has to be attractive. If evil always looks smarty and gross and was always a disreputable thing, nobody would ever be evil. Right? I mean, you wouldn't go for it. But, on the other hand, you know, it's much more interesting to make evil, you know, well, you don't have to make evil attractive. Evil can make itself attractive. You know, go ahead and let evil do what it does. Let it appeal to people's greed. Let it appeal to people's quest for power or for gain. Let it do that, because it does. It'll ferret out who's really trying hard to do the right thing. And that's not a bad thing. Now, I don't want my kids to turn evil, but I also want them to know that if you do silly things, if you're stupid, I think a lot of people are coddled into stupidity. I think a lot of people have found out that they get a lot of free stuff if they, you know, kind of lay around like a limp noodle and feign stupidity to the point to where they just never wise up. You know, even though they have the capacity for being an intelligent person, they choose not to use it. And so therefore, when the time comes, you know, they all of a sudden find out that it's not just fame. They really are stupid, you know. They got suckered into it. Our society goes to great lengths to reward stupidity. Goes to reward behaving foolishly. That's what's happening right now. Some of these bailouts are being used to buy off ignorant people, because ignorant people are easy to buy. If a Democrat was to give them a pile of money and say, you know, it's okay to be ignorant, we understand, pat them on the head, oh, it's okay, you can be as stupid as you want to be, and kind of coddles you into staying stupid, and you reward that by saying, oh, good, I can make some money just by being kind of silly. I can count on the fact that somebody's always going to bail me out. And I agree to give my loyalty to the people who bail me out. You know, whether it's Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals, Tories, Labor Party, whatever, you know. It sets up a horrible circumstance. Politicians do it because it gets them some clout. They know that they can pander a bit to poor people, and poor people will just come running. A whole bunch of them. Not all of them. There are smart poor people. I hope to think I'm one of them. You know. But they're not easily swayed. They're not easily swayed anyway. The only people that can be swayed are dupes or cowards or people along that grain. Greedy people, too. These people can be easily swayed. You can get them to do all kinds of stuff. You know, as long as you pander to whatever makes them, whatever their shtick is. You know, I'm greedy. I like getting something for nothing, or I like getting a whole lot for very little. Since therefore, you know, I enjoy getting into businesses that take advantage of other people, because that's how those things work. You know, you have to take advantage of other people. I said, but natural consequences teaches that hey, if you're going to be primarily stupid, and if you're going to basically just kind of make that one of your hallmarks, you're going to get taken. And natural consequences will say, you know, nobody's really going to bail you out. It's nobody's responsibility to do that, although you'll swear up and down that it's got to be somebody's responsibility. Oh, you've got to take care of me. You know. I'm not going to do that. Natural consequences. I love them a lot, although I do also very much love kindness, not just toward me, but giving kindness too, being nice to people, not taking advantage of people when they're down. Anyway, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Life of Autistic. This has been episode number 698. It's an hour long. If you want to contact me, feel free. The email address is autism, AUTISM, at Quix, QUIX.US. And I hope you enjoyed it. Have a great day.